I have a timely resource for a very specific group of you. If you remember listening to episode 51, How to Use Your School Counseling Skills in Private Practice, you'll remember my friend and former colleague, Lorraine Holman. Lorraine set out to start her own private practice and now wants to teach you why you should and how to open your own viable private practice as a licensed professional counselor. Join Lorraine at a live 2-day virtual private practice workshop for school counselors. This 4.5-hour training will cover LPC licensure steps, private practice documentation essentials, developing your niche and ideal client, maximizing your profit, marketing for beginners, and essential mindset shifts from school counseling to private practice. You'll walk away from this workshop with the tools and confidence that you need to launch your private practice as a full-time or part-time option. Register today for this paid workshop. Space is limited to 15 school counselors and it costs $259. I'm a huge fan of Lorraine and the work that she's doing as an LPC supervisor and a former high school counseling department head. Head back to episode 51 to hear more about her story, but more importantly, if you have a tug to learn more about the practicalities of moving into private practice, I want you to head to counselorclick.com/private practice to learn more and sign up. That's counselorclick.com/private practice, and I hope you'll get to learn from Lorraine at the live workshops on June 7th and June 15th. Welcome to episode 10 of High School Counseling Conversations. I cannot believe we're at 10 episodes already. That might just feel like a mini milestone to me. I don't know. I sat down to record this episode about facilitating high school counseling small groups, and it actually ended up being a lot longer than I intended. So I broke it up into 2 episodes. You'll get part 1 this week and part 2 next week. Let's get to the show. High School Counseling Conversations is a podcast where we talk about exactly that, a casual potpourri of school counseling topics intended to grow us as school counselors, but also give us space to enjoy each other's company. I'm Lauren from Counselor Click, and I'm sharing my experiences and perspectives as a high school counselor. No topic is off limits, and I'm certain we'll cover it all. I'm your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Whether you're just getting your feet wet as an intern or you're nearing retirement, you'll feel like you're just popping in to catch up with your school counseling bestie. Let's go. A big topic that I heard over and over again from you all as high school counselors around small group counseling was not knowing how to facilitate groups. So everyone's backgrounds are different. Coming from grad school, that could have been a really long time ago, and maybe you've been fearful of groups ever since because your experience in grad school just wasn't what you think it should have been. So maybe your experience in a group counseling class in grad school was just being a member of a small group. Like you facilitated a group in class and maybe different counselors pretended to be the facilitator, one group. That's really not a ton of experience to come from grad school. And then add some years on top of that where maybe it was a long time ago that that was your experience. And the more insecure you get because you haven't done it in a long time. It's like riding a bike. The more you do it, the more familiar it becomes and the more confident you get. So if you haven't done it in a while, it would make sense that you're a little nervous about it. So just because you don't have the experience facilitating does not mean that you should take a step back and never run a small group. I want you to dig deep, put on your big girl panties, and decide that it is time to start running small groups in your high school counseling program. When I sat down to think about what tips would be important to share with you all about small groups, I also wanted to mention that my passion obviously comes from high school counseling and running small groups in my school, but even throughout that time and after my time in the high school that I worked at, I have been facilitating small groups with teenagers in general and then adults as well. And so I have definitely had my fair share of awkward conversations, of painful silences, of talkative students and adults. This should not be something that you're fearful of and have to navigate alone. So I want to give you 6 tips for facilitating small groups in your high school setting. Let's go. Number 1, listen more than you talk. I know it is natural to fill the silence. Silences can be super awkward. I also am someone who processes things out loud. So whether I am the leader or a participant, it is very natural for me to feel that silence. So it is hard for me to keep my mouth shut and listen to those in the group with me more than I'm talking. When it's my turn to talk, I'm very quick to talk. I always have an answer immediately. Like if I'm the one in a group and somebody else asks a question, my natural tendency is just to jump in and answer it. I have to stop myself and count in my head or look around the group and think somebody else needs a space to be able to process in their head before they share. It is something that I actively have to think about whether I am a group participant or the group leader. When I listen more than I talk as a leader, I'm inviting everyone in the group to go all in. By providing a safe space, it's establishing trust in the group between me as the leader and them as the participants, and also facilitating some space to trust each other. When different members of the group can talk into what each other is going through, then that's going to establish trust and rapport and empathy as they're getting to know each other. And as you as the leader, you are giving them space to do that. So the more you listen and the less you talk, the more your group is going to grow together in vulnerability and commitment and just grow together in whatever skills that you're trying to develop in them. When you listen more than you talk, you'll encourage that honesty and that depth. And think about it. You can tell them the more that you put in, the more you're going to get out of this group. If you're just going to come here and be silent, then you're not going to get anything out of it. And at the same time, you as the facilitator, if you talk more than you listen, you're not going to see a lot of growth and you're not going to get a lot out of it as a leader either. So don't underestimate good listening. It really lets you speak into situations later because you remember things that people said and you were able to give them space to process out loud. So you'll have some credibility when you actually do have to say something to a student. For example, you're running a stress management group and maybe one of the sessions you run through routines and rhythms and what everybody does in their day-to-day. And you notice that somebody spends a lot of time playing video games instead of doing their homework. Of course they would be stressed, but maybe in the beginning is not the time to speak into that. You listen, you let them share all that. And then when it comes time for you as the leader to notice something and point it back and reflect back to that student, you have been a good listener and you can remember some of those details of what they've said. So all of a sudden, you have this credibility because you have been a patient listener. You are reflecting just the things exactly like they said, but you're able to give them a different perspective that maybe they didn't notice about themselves. And now it's going to cause some change, some good change for the better in their lives. And that's thanks to your active listening skills in the small group. When you are listening more than you talk, you're communicating that you care. You are a trusting adult in the school, and every one of your students needs that, especially a student who shows up week after week in a small group that you are facilitating. Tip number two for facilitating your small groups, read the room. Start to gather mental notes about the personalities in your group. There might be somebody who needs more wait time, who needs that quiet space that you give them as the leader. There might be someone in your group who does process out loud, and you're starting to notice how these personalities work together. You start to make mental notes about the student who never seems to talk, the student who talks too much, the student who's sarcastic, the student who is very timid, and you're not even sure if they want to be there. Start gathering those mental notes. Make eye contact with your members. I know that sounds really silly, but especially as you're asking a question, them feeling like, okay, he or she sees me. They notice I'm here. They're wondering what I'm thinking. There could just be this internal dialogue that a student is wrestling through before they're about to share something. And you making eye contact with them is that body language that they might need that would inspire them to share something with the group that maybe no one has ever really looked at them like that and asked them what they truly feel about something. Along these same lines, take a genuine interest in your students. It's okay for your conversations to take a completely different turn than you intended them to if it needs to go that way. That's you reading the room. If the conversation was going to go like A, B, C, these bullet points that you had planned out for the session, And you end up spending all of your time on A, but it ends up being such a great conversation between your participants, that's a good thing. You don't need to get yourself down about that. Celebrate that as a win. You probably develop some trust in your group, some resilience that they're starting to feel, and they're starting to notice, hey, something about this group is different than my friend group at lunch. Along with reading the room, I want you to ask good questions. Ask open-ended questions that they can bounce things off of each other. You'll know it's a really great win when a group member turns and asks another group member a question and you didn't even have to ask them a follow-up question. You're helping these students in your group uncover things, and you're helping them get to the root of what they need to change, because no matter what kind of group you're running, I know that you want to see positive change in your students and you want to see them grow in whatever skills you have established this group for. Don't forget, read the room, think about the personalities in your group, and be okay with the group going in a different direction some days if that's what's needed in the group during that day. Number three, be okay with silence. I know I mentioned this in another one of the tips already, but this can be painful sometimes. I think this is honestly something that as facilitators, we get really worked up about. We can feel super uncomfortable by silence if it's not something we're practicing all the time. You know, in your head, you feel like 5 seconds in silence is absolute eternity. Now, the more comfortable you are with it, the better your group is going to go. Those students are going to have time to think about their thoughts. Everywhere else in the world, they are scrolling their phone and not taking a second with their thoughts. So you are giving a gift to these students by letting them have some time in their thoughts and some time in silence before they share what they're really thinking with everybody else in the group. If you're leading with a co-leader, this might need to be something that y'all talk about before you go into the session. Like, what is an appropriate amount of time? When do we interject and help each other out if the other one is asking the question and then the co-leader is sitting waiting? Like, is it appropriate for the co-leader to step in and ask a follow-up question or point out a student and ask them to share their answer? Kind of decide what your rhythm and what your practice together is going to be if you lead with a co-leader. Think about how much silence is too much silence. How much silence is not enough silence? This is just going to take some practice, especially if you are one to fill the silence. You could even think in your head, I'm going to count to 5 and we're going to see what happens. Or I'm going to try and take it a little longer. I'm going to count to 10. You can even acknowledge it in the group, like, hey, I don't mind awkward silences. I want y'all to think and I do want you to share. So if it takes us a little bit longer to think of the answers to some of these questions, I'm okay with that. I want this to be a productive space. And if it involves being quiet for a second to get our thoughts together, I'm okay with that. And it doesn't need to be awkward. Acknowledge that silence does not have to be awkward. Create an environment just all together that feels safe to share. And so that can come from the structure, which is tip number 4.
I know, I cut you off. I did not mean to do that. This just ended up being much more of an abrupt ending than I intended. Tune in next week for tips number 4, 5, and 6 of facilitating high school counseling small groups. I know you won't want to miss it if you enjoyed this episode.
If I've boosted your confidence a little bit and you want to try a small group, but you're just not sure of what materials to actually use, try one of my high school counseling small groups in my TPT store. I have a variety of different topics to choose from, like stress management or even career exploration. So for a list of all the small groups and a detailed look of what's inside, go to counselorclick.com/groups. If you want a specific example of something you might find inside, head over to counselorclick.com/stress freebie. You can download a free sample activity for my stress management small group. You'll also get this link in the show notes. So be sure to head over there to the podcast description as soon as you get done listening to this episode so that you don't forget. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All of the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Send me a DM at counselorclick. That's CLIQUE. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I'll see you next time.